Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, hey, today is Palm Sunday. Anybody excited that it's Palm Sunday today? Anybody glad that we get a whole week to celebrate Easter? And let's be honest, who's opened up an Easter egg? Come on, I see those hands. Well, I'll lead you in a prayer of confession and repentance right now. The stone is rolled away and you have eaten that Easter egg. But this is our week where we celebrate the Holy Week, the Passion Week. I love Easter and I've enjoyed this morning already. I have already encountered God today. I hope you have during our praise and worship, a fresh revelation of who Jesus is, of what he has done for us. And then to be able to enjoy community as we've prayed for one another. I don't know about you, but I've heard from God in this moment today. But what I want to speak about this morning is not just to help us in this moment, but to help us in the moments as we go ahead into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, in our lives in the future. This is Palm Sunday. This week I saw on the BBC News app a story which was reported from Kenya, a small village in Kenya. It was big news in their area, and someone had posted this on Facebook, which got the attention of a BBC journalist. In this small village, a private landowner had closed off a path which led from a village into the main village where people would do their trading, would buy their essentials for life, would go in the morning and the well was there, so they'd pick up their water, they'd carry that back, they'd go and they'd barter for their rice and their grain and everything they needed to survive in life. But this private landowner had decided, he was fed up of people walking over his land. He decided to put up a fence to keep people from using the shortcut to the village. So what happened was, this made the news on BBC, and I thought, that's not really a big story. In fact, I don't even think the Buchany would publish that here in... Well, maybe the Buchany would publish that here in Peterhead. It would definitely find its way onto Facebook. But the story goes on. It tells of a man called Nicholas. Nicholas heard about this, and he heard about the people who were complaining about that extra 4 kilometer journey that they had to take to carry the water and to carry the supplies back to their home. And he thought, I'm going to do something about this. See, the local authority had designated a bit of land that would be designated for a path to be constructed, but they never got around to building that path. So Nicholas, he picked up his spade, he picked up his axe, and for 6 days had worked night and day to begin to dig out this path to make life easier for these villagers. He was asked why he was doing it. He just wanted to ease the suffering of the people in his area. He was asked why nobody was helping him. He said, nobody wants to work for free. And this man, who usually went from job to job as a handyman, had devoted this part of his life, this past week, to build a road so that people could get from their village into their shopping center a lot easier. At this point, when they shared this online, he'd already completed a mile of the road. And he'd half a mile to go. And I'm assuming if he kept going at the rate he was going, that road would now be completed. And people can walk from their village to their shopping center. Nobody was willing to help him. I thought that was interesting. But everybody was willing to enjoy the path even before he'd finished. And this man, an incredible act of generosity, also is a picture of what Holy Week and actually the Christian life is all about. You see, this man has made a way where there was no way. He's carved a road that has helped people to get from where they are to where they want to be. And in this week, we celebrate in Passion Week, we celebrate how Jesus made a way where there was no way. We celebrate this week that we were helpless, that we were far from God. Our sin had cut us off. It was impossible that we'd be able to be in relationship with our Father in heaven. But Jesus came and he made a way where there was no way. He gave his life on the cross. He shed his blood. He died in your place so that you could ask for forgiveness and reconnect and be in relationship with your Father in heaven. People, let's not forget about what this week is all about. You'll see the bunnies. You'll see the eggs. You'll see all those other things. But let's not forget about the glory of the cross. Let's not forget about the victory of the resurrection. And Jesus has made a way where there was no way. Jesus has made a road to victory. And I want to talk to you today about the road to victory. Because as we come to Palm Sunday, as we come to Luke 19, at this point, people are at a point of anticipation and expectation. Is Jesus the one? We've seen his miracles, we've seen his teachings, we've seen him move in power, but is Jesus the one that we've been waiting for? For hundreds of years, the people have been waiting for the prophecies to be fulfilled, that someone would come and be their Savior, would be their Messiah, would be their King. Is Jesus this man? Or is he just one of the other prophets and teachers that has came before him? Or is Jesus the one? And at this point, on this day, on Palm Sunday, Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. And he comes in as this humble king, a king of peace, but he comes in victoriously. And as we get to the end of this Passion Week, there will be another moment of victory and triumph where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, Holy Week, Passion Week is bookend by hope and victory. Today, as they celebrate Palm Sunday, people are still looking forward in anticipation for the hope that Jesus would bring. And then when we get to Easter Sunday, the resurrection confirms and secures that our hope goes beyond the grave. That we can sing today that on the third, come on church, that on the third, he rose again. Oh, I pray today that we would have a fresh revelation of the victory that Jesus has won for us. We're on the road to victory. Each one of us here are on that road. And I don't know where you're at on your journey today. Some people will be in a place of triumph. Some people maybe feel they're in a place of defeat. But I want to encourage you today. Jesus, from Palm Sunday, went on a journey which took him through disappointment, betrayal, injustice, and injustice, and ultimately cost him his life. And each of us here too today, if you're a Christian, you can testify that life has got its highs and it's got its lows. And each of us are ultimately on this journey. Well, we will reach our end of our lives and we will receive the victory which Jesus has in store for us. And I don't know if it's Easter, but it probably is Easter. I just get so reminded of eternity. Yeah. This is what it's all about. And when I come to take part in a funeral or anything like that, I have a hope, a blessed hope. I have hope today because Jesus has won the victory. So come on, turn your Bible to Luke chapter 19. We're all on this road to victory, and today I want to share just three things that the road to victory requires. Because I'd love to tell you that that's it, we've won it over, just sit back and relax. But the truth is, to mature on the Christian journey, yes, it involves being part of a life group to get the support and encouragement that you need, because I believe these three principles or these three virtues or things that we need to be successful and make it through to our ultimate victory are found in this text. We learn from the characters and we learn from Jesus these three things. Firstly, sacrifice. Secondly, trust. And finally, praise. So come on, lead from verse 28 of Luke 19. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory, or Hosanna in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Father, I thank you today that we have made a bold declaration that Jesus Christ is alive. And we have declared our praises. We have celebrated you in this place. We have given you your rightful place today. And Lord, I just ask, Lord, as we come to your word, that we will hear what you say. But not only what you say, but help us to obey what you say. Help us to put into practice that which you will speak into our hearts today. Mindful, as we've heard already, people are at different places on their journey. So Holy Spirit, will you do the work that only you can do to meet individually with every person here and highlight something that will be an encouragement to them today. So Holy Spirit, have your way. Be honored and glorified in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Untie it and bring it here. The road to victory requires sacrifice. Here we have a group of people who were owners of this colt, and this colt would have been something that they had purchased together. It would have been maybe a neighborhood of people who had purchased this colt for a specific reason. It was to make their life a little bit easier. They maybe used the colt to gather goods when they were traveling somewhere. It helped them to go on a journey. And probably most days, the colt was used for a purpose. But on this day, the purpose for this colt was not to serve their needs, but it was to serve the need of Jesus Christ. Think about this. God placed this colt into this neighborhood, into this group of people who owned this colt for this very day. That on this day, Jesus would come into Jerusalem, fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. And in that moment, he would ask for the use of this colt. I don't know about you, but I've come to a point in life where I've realized everything in this world belongs to the Lord. Everything in the world. Every last penny, every beautiful thing that you admire, everything that God has blessed in your life, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. And God is so gracious and so trusting of people that he gives these things to us. And yes, we can enjoy them for our comfort and for our enjoyment, but I never want those things to have a hold of me. I never want to get to a place where I get to the thinking, no, actually, I own this. This is me. Because what happens is the stuff begins to own me. I don't own it. But it all belongs to the Lord. And on this day, Jesus comes along, and something not only was placed there physically, but something must have been placed in the hearts of these owners, that when the disciples came along and said, "We're untying this because the Lord needs it," it was enough for its owners to give permission and allow it. Imagine that. Imagine here in 2019, the disciples came up to your house and started trying to open your car door. And I don't know about you and Peterhead, but if I looked outside and I saw my car and somebody was trying to open the car door, I'd be getting a little bit worried. And I'd imagine just them going out there and say, "It's okay, the Lord needs it." I'm not pretty sure I'm going to buy that one. Has George Corner or Campbell Thompson heard that one before? But it's exactly the same. But something was placed within these men that they realized, surely they must have been aware of Jesus. They must have heard of him. The whole city was in an uproar as Jesus came in to this place. Imagine that you got the opportunity to play a part in God's story. You see, sacrifice is a pivotal or most important ingredient to generosity. If you want to be a generous person, it's going to have to cost you something. See, maybe you think you're generous when you put a couple of quid into something and you think that's being generous. Now, maybe for some people here, that's generous because generosity is relative to your position and standing in life. But true generosity will cost you something. And these people, these owners, it cost them the use of this cult when they allowed Jesus to use it. But actually, and this is what happens with generosity, you get even more back in return. These owners are mentioned in Luke's gospel. These owners got the opportunity to play a part in a bigger and greater story. We in Peterhead today are talking about these owners because of their act of generosity. Today I've told you about a man in Kenya who got out a spade and a shovel and decided he was going to make a footpath, not for his good, not for attention, but to help the suffering of people in his area. And I'm talking about it today. Generosity allows you to play a part in God's story. But secondly, generosity allows you to protect your heart. One of the things, and we've spoken about this previously, is that in our generation, particularly millennials, entitlement is one of the key characteristics of our generation. We were brought up expecting everything into our hands. Everybody's a winner. You can be whatever you want to do. And this whole bit of hard work and ethic, we kind of skipped that, and we just expected everything to be in our hands. And actually, I'm not convinced that's just always a millennial thing. We can all fall into this place of just expecting everything to be as we see fit. And one of the best ways to help protect against entitlement is generosity. When you live your life with open-handed generosity, it allows you to protect your heart, to protect your heart from pride and entitlement, and actually you get to play a part of a bigger story than your story. You get to play a part in God's story. I'm thinking of those who are giving up time to go down to our Apex Center and do the work that's going on down there. The sacrifice of time and energy and effort, which could be spent otherwise, but they are. I'm thinking of those who gave in that offering as well. You gave sacrificially because you want to be part of a bigger story. A story which goes beyond today. A story which will influence the generations that will come. And these owners got to play a part in God's story. They made a sacrifice. And surely this morning we don't need to go too far to stretch our minds to the ultimate sacrifice. You see, Easter reminds us that Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. Generosity requires sacrifice, and Jesus showed us that it also required substitution. Jesus goes to the cross and he dies in your place, pays the penalty for your sin, takes the punishment which you deserve. He does that for you. He takes your place. He takes the suffering. He takes the pain. He takes the penalty so that you today could ask, "Forgive me of my sin." And what's important on the cross is not just that Jesus went there, but it's what happened when he went there. See, the Bible tells us that he shed his blood, and the blood of Jesus is powerful. The blood of Jesus is the life-giving power to bring you from death to life. Jesus sheds his blood on the cross, and because his blood is shed, it means that sins can now be forgiven. The penalty has been paid, the price has been paid, you can be forgiven of your sins. Stories told of a little girl who's got a deadly disease, and they've tried everything to try and heal this girl, and everything has failed, and they've came to the point that the only thing that will help this girl to get through is if she can get a blood transfusion from her brother. Her little brother had already overcome this deadly disease, and his body had created the antibodies that are required to counteract the disease in her body. So they get the little five-year-old boy and they explain what's happened, and they ask him, "Look, would you be willing to give your blood so that your sister could live?" And the little boy has a little think about it, takes a deep sigh and says, "Okay, if it means she can live, I'll do it." They get everything put into place, and they bring the two kids together in the hospital room, and they get all the equipment and machines, they hook them all up, and they begin the transfusion. And as the transfusion is taking place, the doctors are watching the girl, the color just coming back into her body. And in that moment, doctors are celebrating, and the little boy's happy as well, but little boy, the color starts to drain out of his face, and he turns to the doctor and he says, "Will I begin to die now?" And the doctor says, No, we didn't need all your blood. We only needed a little bit of your blood." You see, although this story, whether it happened or not, it's not important, but it tells us a great story or links us into what Jesus did for us. More than just giving a little bit, he gave his all. And he took your place. And he was willing to do that for you. He made the ultimate sacrifice. Surely in this road to victory, if we don't create this lifestyle of being willing to forgo so that others can be blessed, or I actually can experience the true fulfillment which God has got for me, which is more than just me, but actually is about others, surely we need to develop sacrifice. Second thing, trust. See, the Bible here is quite clear that these owners, it just says the owners need it, and off it goes. They trusted God with what they had. But as we go further into the Easter story, we see how Jesus trusted the Father right to the very end. See, as I said in my introduction, Jesus had to go through betrayal, disappointment, injustice. And we move forward in Passion Week, and we get to that moment in Gethsemane where Jesus is praying and pleading with God and asking, if there is any other way, let's maybe look at that other options. But not my will, but yours be done. Jesus was willing to trust in God's purposes right up to the end, and it meant he had to give his life. See, you may be here this morning and you're going through a difficult season, a challenge, an obstacle, whatever it looks like for you. I want to encourage you can trust in God's purposes now. That if we are going to get to that place of victory, yes, one day we'll all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. But until we get there, we're on the road to victory. Jesus is victorious. His divine power has given me everything for a life of godliness. We are in that moment just now, but we will go through challenges. We will face disappointment. Oh, we will face betrayal. We will face injustice. But you can trust in God's purposes. Because even if you're in that place just now, I want to encourage you that it has to happen. Jesus had to have a Gethsemane moment. Jesus had to have a betrayal. Jesus had to face a kangaroo court. Jesus had to go to the cross for the plan and the purpose of salvation to come to pass. And some things in life which I would rather not go through, it has to happen. And maturing as a believer is going from, why is this happening to me? Natural, honest response to, well, it had to happen. Because if it didn't happen, X, Y, and Z wouldn't have happened afterwards. Sometimes these moments are positioning moments which do some inner work within us, but set us up for what is lying ahead. And Jesus is going through that in Gethsemane. And maybe you're here today in the Bible. I want to encourage you. It also tells us that we've got a God who cares for us. Because Luke goes on and tells us that in Gethsemane, an angel comes to comfort Jesus. That Jesus is in a place of agony. And the Bible also says there that he sweats drops of blood because he's agonizing so much. Why? Because he knew what was coming. He knew, yes, the cross, but he knew what the cross meant. It meant the weight of sin being placed upon him and his father turning his back on him for those moments. He knew the agony. He knew that he needed to do it for you. He knew that if he did not do that, we would still be lost. We would not be celebrating Easter today. We would be people of most misery. But he went all the way to the cross. We can trust in God. Thirdly, we can realize who Jesus is. Matthew says this in his gospel. As Jesus comes into Jerusalem, the people are asking this question, who is Jesus? Who is this? Who is this? And I would ask you that this morning as well. Who is Jesus? Do you realize who he is? Because the third thing that we need is not just sacrifice and trust, but that all comes up to praise. And in a moment, I want to get to a place where we talk about overcoming praise, which requires sacrifice and trust. The road to victory requires us to praise God in the moment we are in. These people realize who Jesus is. Blessed. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. When they see Jesus lifted up onto this colt, as he begins to ride into Jerusalem, they go, this is it. Oh, this is what we've been waiting for. This is the one the prophets talked of. This is the one that we've been hoping he would be. And Jesus comes in humility, but he comes in victory. And the people begin to praise. The people begin to celebrate that Jesus is the one that they have been waiting for. He is the king. He is the victorious one. He is the one who's going to come and set them free from the years of bondage that they have been in. Jesus is the King. The atmosphere at this point is off the scale. Jesus is King. And as I was reflecting on this week, I went straight to 2 Samuel 6. You think, why have you went Old Testament? But that's the Old Testament story when David finds the Ark of God. And at this point, it's been out with the city of David, Jerusalem. And he's like, we've got to get the Ark back. And the Bible tells us that they go on this journey of returning the ark into the temple and getting it back to God's place. And what they do is they go on this journey of every 6 paces they make a sacrifice. And as they go on this journey, they are sacrificing, but also David is celebrating. And he is praising. And he knew what the ark of God meant. The ark of God represented the presence of God on earth. And he was craving it. And he wanted it back. And he would do whatever it takes to get that presence back. So he goes on this journey of sacrificing the animals every 6 pieces, honoring God with the sacrifice. But he begins to get excited. He begins to celebrate. He even says, you think this is something? I will become even more undignified than this. He begins to celebrate that the Ark of God is coming back into the city of David, into Jerusalem. Let's fast forward a few chapters. God makes David a promise. Your kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom. Let's go forward a few thousand years. Jesus comes into the city of David, into Jerusalem. He's riding not on the Ark of God. He is the Ark of God. He's riding on a donkey. People realize this is the presence of God. This is Jesus, our King. They begin to sacrifice. They lay down their cloaks. They create a carpet of honor. The donkey begins to tread over it, which is exalting Jesus. People begin to praise. But I want to talk to you about overcoming praise. Because David had to overcome the sneers and the discouragement of his wife. She looked at him and thought, what a fool you are making of yourself. Why are you behaving like that today? And David says, you think this is something? You ain't seen nothing yet. The Pharisees say to Jesus, tell these people to be quiet. And they weren't upset because these people were loud. They were upset because what they were saying. Jesus is King. So what does overcoming praise look like? It looks like we're on the road to victory. But I'm going to worship in this moment knowing that, yes, it's rubbish. Yes, there's a lot of stuff happening. Yes, his life is not perfect. But I have made a conscious decision that I'm going to make a sacrifice of my feelings, my emotions, my preferences. I'm going to lay those aside and I'm going to praise the King. I'm going to trust in him that although things are not perfect and what I would like them to be, I still believe that Jesus Christ is King in my life and there is an ultimate victory which I am going to. True worship, which is overcoming praise, requires sacrifice and trust. And David demonstrates this. And the people this time can see their victory is coming. They're on the road to victory. Church, this morning, I want to encourage you to be people who praise, but overcomers in your praise. Come on, band, let's come this morning. We're going to praise in a couple of moments. And just as we get to this point today, I want to speak to you. Where are you in your journey? Some people are in highs and lows. You know where you're at. Maybe you're just in that middle season where, hey, things are just doing okay. Can we celebrate today that Christ has won us the victory? Can we celebrate that today? That even if you find yourself in the difficult season, come on, we're on the road to victory. Jesus has done it all for us. He's went to the cross. He's died in our place. He's risen from the dead. He is exalted forevermore, reigning over heaven and on earth, and he lives in you today. You see, Jesus made a way where there was no way. And just as the band are getting ready this morning, I want to give you an opportunity. You're here today, and you've never made this decision to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. And even this morning, as we have celebrated and worshipped and encountered God and had this moment, maybe you felt on the outside, you've maybe felt like everybody else has enjoyed that today, but not me. You know, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the amazing privilege to have a personal relationship with God. And that's what Easter is all about. That's what this church is all about, to give people an opportunity to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. And I wonder if you're here today and you've never made that decision. You've came to church maybe, you've been part of things, but you've never had a definitive moment where you've said, yes, Jesus, you're my Lord, you're my Savior. You haven't realized who He is yet, but He is King. And He needs to be King of your life. Well, God has done everything He possibly could to make that possible. He gave His one and only Son. He gave Him into this world and He lived that perfect life that at the end of His life, He died on the cross, took your place, took your punishment for all the rubbish, all the stuff that we deeply regret, all the stuff that makes us feel uncomfortable, all that stuff that we wish we'd never done. The Bible calls it sin, and that separates us from our Father in heaven. But Jesus took your place. He took your place that you can make that decision today to ask Him to forgive you of your sin. And the Bible tells us this promise that He'll do that. And He'll get you into right relationship with our Father in heaven. So if that's you today, I want to give you that opportunity. And all I'm going to ask in a couple of moments is that you raise your hand. And that's really to help me so that we can all lead ourselves in a prayer together. We're all going to pray. So you're here today and you say, Daniel, yep, I know that's me. I need to make that decision today. Well, Christians, can we all bow our head? In fact, everyone in this room, can we bow our head and close our eyes and be respectful of this moment? You're here and you say, Daniel, yeah, that's me. I want to make that decision today to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. I'm the only one with my eyes open looking just now. So if that's you, can you just lift your hand just now? I'll see it. I'm looking for it. I'll see it, and we'll all lead us in a prayer together. You're here and you say, Daniel, I want to realize who Jesus is. He is my King. I want to start a relationship with Him. If that's you, can you raise your hand?